Good morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I am Sandy Ingham, Prairie's consulting minister. Sometimes I do the services, sometimes people from outside the congregation do the services, and sometimes one of our lay leaders will do that. So if this is one of your first times here, please think about coming back again to experience something different on Sunday mornings. But you are welcome here no matter where you are on life's journey. Whether you are, whatever your ethnicity is, whatever your gender orientation, your sexual preference, color of your hair, color of your eyes, your abilities or disabilities, you are most welcome here. Try to be open-minded and open-hearted. The opening words in honor of Earth Day are by Unitarian Universalist Minister Barbara Peston. For the beauty of the earth, this spinning blue-green ball, yes, Gaia, mother of everything, we walk gently across your back to come together again in this place, to remember how we can live, to remember who we are, to create how we will be. Gaia, our home, the lap in which we live, welcome us. Glory be to the earth and the wind. Glory be to the sun and the moon and the rain. Glory be to animals and children and women and men. Glory be to our holy flame, which calls us together as one. I'm going to do something a little bit different because I had everything together last week, and I realize I don't have the readings. They're right there. So you're going to meditate. I'm not going to run because I have these stupid shoes on, but it won't be much more time than I usually put you into meditation. So deep breath, just observe silence, and then you'll hear me ring the bell, I hope in just a moment.
What if she never returns?
How'd you do?
We almost take quite your view.
That would have been fine too. I don't see anybody nodding off totally. Little nods. Arbor Day by Unitarian Universalist Minister Gary Kowalski. Kowalski, some of you might know a little bit about. He was in Burlington, Vermont, and he's probably one of our foremost environmental justice-oriented ministers. He writes, "There is a folk tale about a young girl who spied an old man carefully planting trees in an orchard, apple, pear, and cherry. He was stooped with age, and she looked at him with puzzlement. 'Why are you planting those?' she asked finally. 'You may not live long enough to enjoy the fruit when the trees finally begin to bear.' 'That's true,' the old man replied calmly. 'But when I was born, there were trees here for me to enjoy that I did not plant. Now it is my turn to do something for future generations.' There are many ways to make a lasting contribution to the world. Planting a tree is only one. Some work for peace. Others volunteer to tutor children after school or work at the local animal shelter. The important thing is to give your energies to something bigger than your own ego, something that can outlast your own lifetime. each of us can truly say, I have harvested where I did not sow. And so we should give something back to the world. Not should in any moralistic sense, but in the same manner that acorns should produce oak trees and apple seeds should make pippins. Gratitude is a natural outgrowth of living. Service, a response to the abundance with which we have been blessed. Henry David Thoreau wrote, though I do not believe, it's at the top of your order of service, though I do not believe that a plant will spring up where no seed has been, I have great faith in a seed. Convince me that you have a seed there, and I am prepared to expect wonders. And my second reading is Moonlight in the Frost, which we are not that far removed from frost. Frozen leaves crunched beneath my boots, and plumes of condensed breath fogged my glasses as I crept along a deer path under the full moon of a pre-dawn November morning. Warm summer breezes filled with singing cardinals and buzzing hummingbirds seemed an eternity away. To hear or see owls was the reason I was in the woods before daylight on a morning of heavy frost and sub-freezing temperatures. While I was fortunate enough to see a great horned owl that morning, not 20 feet away, it wasn't the large yellow-eyed predator that profoundly stirred my soul, but an inconspicuous sight on the forest floor. Looking down to pick my way through the woods, I noticed faint lights among the leaves. Since the nearest artificial light was some distance away, I stopped and knelt to examine this strange luminescence. When I reached down to touch one of the points of light, it disappeared. Withdrawing my hand made the light reappear. Slowly, I realized that each individual crystal of frost on the leaves reflected a tiny, perfect, full moon. I'll never know whether it was the position of the moon in the sky or the angle of moonlight shining through the bare trees, but the narrow deer path I followed into the woods was illuminated faintly by moonlight reflected on frost crystals. A Milky Way galaxy in miniature stretched before me here in the woods of Iredell County, North Carolina, on an icy November morning, pointing the way to just pointing the way. It seemed almost sacrilegious to step on such a perfect example of duality, heaven and earth, black and white, yin and yang, light and darkness. Both ancient and modern Tao teachers attempting to explain to students their place in the cosmos silently point one hand at the sky and the other at the ground. This simple, profound act signifies that humanity's place is between the heavens and the earth. The traditional Taoist maxim, heaven, earth, humanity, places the importance of heaven and earth before that of humanity, reminding us that we are only a part of everything under the skies and on the earth. I followed that path into the woods that morning. May we all be fortunate enough to have a path shown us by the universe. And may we all have the courage to follow it. Enlightenment need not arrive all at once, straddling a bolt of lightning, or even after a lifetime of meditation and study. It might come in small packages as moonlight reflected in the frost of a cold November morning. So hopefully that was worth a little extra meditation time. In my column in the April edition of Prairie Fire, our monthly newsletter, which you all read religiously, I asked this question. Did you know that this year's theme is the Unitarian Universalist Association? Theme for what? You might well have asked. Prairie's program committee chooses a theme for the year, a topic that will be the subject of several services during the year. Last year, our theme was the six sources of Unitarian Universalism. And on February 11th of this year, we wrapped that theme up with a summary by Program Committee member Dawn Hazlett of services that had featured different sources during the year. And please note that when I refer to a year, I am loosely referring to the calendar year. Your program committee is very flexible. In the congregational response time that morning in February, several of you indicated that you were unaware that the program committee has a theme that runs through several of the services it plans for the year. So we want to be more intentional this year in letting you know both what our theme is and when a particular Sunday, such as today's, is devoted to that theme. People in Unitarian Universalist congregations are generally a little fuzzy when it comes to knowing what the UUA is, the Unitarian Universalist Association, and what it does. Did you know that a part of what you pledge to Prairie goes to pay our annual dues to the Unitarian Universalist Association? Dues are currently $60, I believe, per member. The UUA is amazingly multifaceted, supporting many programs, special interest groups, and affiliations that cover a wide range of interests, of social justice issues, professional groups, publishing houses, to name a few areas. Over the years, since the Unitarians and the Universalists merged, there has been a fair amount of tension, imagine that, between individual congregations and the association. And that's not unusual, I don't think. I mean, we are certainly not the only faith tradition that has experienced that tradition. Think of the Catholics in the United States and the worldwide Catholicism. But two factors have had a lot to do, I think, with our particular tension. And speaking of all congregations now. One is our grounding in congregational polity. Our belief in that each congregation calls the minister if there is one. Each congregation does things on their own and is somewhat loosely connected with a larger organization. But that's not surely not the only reason there's been tension. I mean, I grew up Presbyterian, and we had congregational polity, and we never questioned the, who else grew up Presbyterian? Oh, what is that called? I want to say synod, but the larger body. But the other reason I think that Unitarian Universalists have trouble with a larger organization is our free-thinking heritage. We just might be the most reluctant group of people ever to try to organize ourselves institutionally. Our free-thinking tradition has many, many pluses, but has a few negative things too. So on many occasions, I have wondered, when considering the UUA, that larger umbrella there, why do we even bother being part of it, I mean. I thought this in other congregations, including First Unitarian, which is one of our largest congregations. First Unitarian here, I'm sorry, in Madison. I'll get to that later. I want to touch on just a very brief history of the Unitarian Universalist Association, which was formed when?
1961.
Very good. Anne gets a star. In 1961, the Unitarians and the Universalists merged. Now, what happens when two very unique, very distinct bodies come together? Actually, this is happening right now with the UCC and Evangelical? Or the Disciples. We talked about that, didn't we? Yeah. That just happened officially a couple years ago, maybe, but it's going to take, they're really wrestling with this. And we wrestled with it, and the Universalists were afraid that they would lose their identity in that merger, which I would argue they have, pretty much. So there are reasons to be, you know, concerned when your overriding institution merges with another. Also, think about what that means logistically. Who's going to get what money? I mean, how are you going to just then Universal has had a fair amount of money. But is that just going to, is that going to get put into one common pot? So there are all sorts of things. And who will be the president, especially the first president? When negotiations were going on for the merger, the Unitarians and the Universalists agreed that it wouldn't be somebody from either of their denomination who was already a president. But it didn't end up that way. The first president of the UUA was Dana McLean Greeley, a Unitarian. Now, Dana did some wonderful things. Now, I should say, too, though, not only, so we merged in 61. That was only 58 years ago. So we're still struggling with this. But think about the 60s, and I always bring this up when I talk about that merger. Think about the turmoil out there in the wider world. And think about how we are so proud of our social action and our social justice work in the world. And there were so many things that we wanted to tackle. We wanted to tackle women's rights and civil rights and kind of maybe kind of the beginning of the GLBT rights movement. And then the war. Oh, yes, that's right. There was that Vietnam War. So we're trying to spread ourselves so very thinly, and we still do that. I think that's a plus in some ways, that we tackle all these things, and we'll talk about some of these or mention them in just a minute. The other thing is we were broke, but nobody knew that. Nobody bothered to tell, well, somebody must have known, to tell Dana Greeley that, oh, by the way, you have all these huge plans for this brand new organization, but you don't have any money. I mean, we were really broke, verge of bankruptcy broke. But Dana Greeley did a lot of good things. He said he wanted to make sure that the new denomination had a high profile, and he planned to provide it. Well, think about that for a minute. What comes into my mind is advertising of some sort or another. Don't we still struggle with this? Getting our wonderful message out there without it seeming that that's what we're doing, because we, heaven forbid, that we would become missionaries, that we would proselytize. So there was all of that, finding the balance between the overreach and being focused. I suspect all nonprofit organizations must struggle with this on some level, unless they've got some really good bylaws and so on, and maybe have one focus. But our focus is, well, let's see what our focus is. Before we get there though, I want to fast forward to the presidency of Bill Scholes, mid to late 80s. So some of you will probably have heard of him. You might not have heard of Dana Greeley, but you've probably heard of Scholes. Scholes challenged the humanists of the UUA, among whom he counted himself, when he declared a need for a religious humanism in a new key. Now, if you want to read more about that, I can give you sources. John Burens was then later was followed. I think he followed Scholes, and Burens and Forrest Church wrote a book that you may have seen, "Our Chosen Faith," which is a wonderful book. If you want to try to explain Unitarian Universalist to someone, give them a copy of that book or refer them to the book. It's actually about the sources, and in that book, they tried to find a deeper confluence among the varied streams of liberal religion. So it didn't seem like we were wishy-washy or too eclectic, a huge criticism of Unitarian Universalism. By the 1980s, women were tired of the almost exclusive use of male pronouns everywhere, in our hymnal, in our principles and purposes, believe it or not. The original draft that was voted in by one of the General Assemblies of the Principles and Purposes is full of sexist language. And I was going to use this as a responsive reading, but I have another plan. This won't surprise you. The process of making our UUA language more inclusive took several years. But interestingly, it wasn't just the language and the revised principles and the sources that was innovative and outside the box thing. And I keep saying principles and purposes, and I mean principles and sources. Anyway, it wasn't just the language that was innovative when we revised. And there were two other significant innovations. John Burens talks about them in his book, Universalists and Unitarians in America, A People's History. One was use of the word and the concept of covenant The word covenant makes some people nervous, but it's a beautiful word. And we'll talk about it on another Sunday. Second thing was that the rewritten principles and sources celebrated the theological diversity of Unitarian Universalism in those five sources originally, later six sources, celebrated the theological diversity. They were intentional about that. So back to the why do we bother question, referring to why do we bother, or did we bother in 1961 to form the UUA? Well, we bother for many reasons. There's strength in numbers. There's much to be said for banding together, however loosely. No individual congregation in our association, not one of them, is big enough to accomplish much by itself in the wider world. Yes, we could go all go our separate ways and drop out of the UUA and dissolve the UUA, but that would be foolish. I myself have been in my past known to be zealous in my criticism of the UUA, but now I cringe at having been that way. My way of thinking has certainly changed over the years, strangely enough, especially since coming to Prairie. I want to ask critics of the UUA if they have a better idea, some alternative to the UUA. So rather than debate the UUA's effectiveness this morning, Penny and I, and thank you, Penny, and the rest of the program committee would like to concentrate on the positive aspects of the UUA beyond the obvious reasons that I have just mentioned for why and how important institutions are and how necessary. We want to dazzle you now with the width and breadth and depth of this unique organization that we call the Unitarian Universalist Association. And we will only have time to scratch the surface of acquainting you with what the UUA offers and what work it does for us. Most of the programs and services that the UUA provides are identified by acronyms or seemingly meaningless letters strung together. You often have to be patient with long time you use, who tend to throw out terms and letters as if everyone knows what we're talking about. And think about what we're giving you this morning as a library of sorts, with an immense amount of imagination that is specific to our faith tradition, yes, but also endlessly applicable to the wider world. Why should you care about this alphabet soup mixture? Well, partly because, as I said, we support the UUA with our pledged dollars to Prairie. But just as importantly, and perhaps more so, I think you'll be surprised at the range of topics that we UUs believe are important and worthy of our attention. And I hope that you'll leave here this morning proud to be a UU. So, a few graphics. Well, Penny has most of the graphics, but I have some. Oh, they're on the floor. That's why I can't find them. Publications. UU World. If you're not getting this and you've signed our membership book, please let me know. And we will make sure that you are getting it. Beacon Press. Anybody ever heard of Beacon Press? It's a very left-leaning, liberal publishing house that is connected to the UUA. Did you know that the Pentagon Papers, in their entirety, which is hundreds of boring pages, was first published not by the Post or the New York Times, by Beacon Press? But did you know that we, as an organization, an institution, almost went out of business after we published them? They weren't a bestseller. So we didn't make any money here, but we were sued by the government. And we almost went bankrupt with those legal fees until Veatch came to our rescue. They weren't Veatch then. I'll get to them in just, well, we were rescued, I'll tell you who they are. North Shore Unitarian Society in Plan Dome, New York, now known as the UU Congregation at Shelter Rock. And I'll tell you a little bit more about them just a moment. Skinner House is also connected to the UUA. It's another publishing house. Anybody get Quest besides me? This is the publication of CLF. Anybody know what that is? Church of the Larger Fellowship. It's totally online. Well, not totally, obviously, because they put things out. Interesting. It's and I. Oh boy, I can't. I can see these, except they're backwards. But it's a backwards kind of morning. So who cares? CLF. I can't remember when it first came into existence. It has become fairly well known in prisons. And any of us, I belong to Church of the Larger Fellowship. I give them $50 a month, but I don't think there is a minimum that you have to give to receive this. You can give assets. Some of your money go to for making sure this gets into the prisons, but there are a lot of them, pen pals almost. I don't know what to call them. But now, there's always at least one article or one poem or one essay by a prisoner in Quest. And they're incredible articles. I mean, I'm not going to read any to you, but they're just amazing. So, this
is... And the Church of the Larger Fellowship is what? What is it?
It's the Church of the Larger Fellowship. I think, Rick, that it was originally formed... I know this, actually... to serve Unitarian Universalists who are in rural areas or very far away from any congregation, like in Wyoming or Montana or Idaho or rural anywhere. And it became pretty much all digital then eventually, and then branched out into prisons. And I don't know the story, but we could find it out. I think it'd be fascinating to find out how it got into prisons and is used there. You may have seen the movie The Post about the Pentagon Papers. Did you know that Beacon Press got copies of the Pentagon Papers through Senator Mike Gravel?
Gravel.
Is it Gravel? A Unitarian from Alaska. And that's when the Nixon administration ordered the FBI to seize the donor records of the UUA. And that's when the UUA defended itself, of course, and that's then there were the ensuing legal expenses. Shelter Rock is a congregation on Long Island that saved us. It got us out of bankruptcy. In the 1950s, the minister there was Gerald Weary, W-E-A-R-Y, love that name. And Shelter Rock, I didn't know this, began as just a Sunday school in the 40s. Some of you have probably heard of the Veach program, V-E-A-T-C-H. Well, the minister, at that time he would have been just Unitarian because we hadn't merged, he regularly visited one of his parishioners, Carolyn Veach, a widow who was housebound. Her husband had been a geologist and left her stock, quote, in a pre-war German company that had rights to oil and gas royalties in northern Germany, unquote. Unfortunately, Carolyn Veach wasn't getting any money from these stocks, so Reverend Weary finally found a Unitarian lawyer who helped her get some income from these stocks, and when she died, she left all those oil and gas stocks to the congregation, and they're very wealthy. They have bailed us out of so many things. Okay, more alphabet soup. How about things that you might believe, like CUUPS, cups? Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans. There are large chapters in some of our congregations. UUCF, UU Christian Fellowship. UUHA. Did you find that one, Penny? It's the Holding program, I think, in India. No, that's the humanist. UUHA is the humanist. I should know that one. So the whole faith spectrum. What do you believe? Where are you between atheism and Christianity, for example? You can find it on the UUA website. How about our history? UUWF. You know that. Women's Federation. UU Women's Federation. In the 1970s, the UUWF, which had been active in local congregations and which had been established partly to offset male-only groups within Unitarian Universalism, the UUWF ratcheted up its involvement in women's issues and became active nationally, and this is why. Its chapter in Dallas, Texas, managed to raise enough money to take a case to court. The case concerned whether or not a woman should have control over her own reproductive life. This case eventually worked its way up to the Supreme Court in January of 1973, and you may have heard of it, Roe versus Wade. Sunday morning services, Penny finds, and anybody who's doing a service, you can find an unbelievable amount of information and help online. Words for Worship, Worship and the Arts. Religious education, Lareda, L-R-E-D-A. Anybody know what that is? Liberal religious educators. Okay. D-A. What's a D? I bet it is, because that sounds so... Oh, it's up there. You have the answers to the test? Oh, okay. So many GLBTQ concerns that we have... Many, many, many. And anti-oppression work that we use with our young people. Welcoming congregation, I would put in this part. The educational part of becoming a welcoming congregation. We are a welcoming congregation. If you don't know what that is, ask somebody afterwards and see if they know. There's a quote from John Burens about GLBTQ concerns. This is from the mid-90s. The UUA's anti-oppression work in the mid-1990s was reframed so as to include not only anti-racism, but also multiculturalism and anti-oppression efforts on behalf of bisexual, gay, lesbian, and transgender people. Add one more category to the name of that office, Burens said to the new director of that office, and it'll be an office of queer concerns. This was John Burens, wasn't being, you know, nasty or anything. The director of the new director responded with, "That would be fine." And the new director was Keith Cron, who I went to seminary with, and he's a personal friend. I tell you this anecdote for two reasons. One, because I know Keith really well. But the other is that the UUA was, and always has been, way ahead of other denominations in the area of GLBTQ rights. And I'm leaving out, am I leaving out a letter, Anne? GLBTQI?
It's complicated.
Yeah. But you all know what I'm talking about. Yes. There is a story from 2008 about the Boy Scouts refusing to recognize any UU chapter of Boy Scouts that gave out the Religion and Life Award. And I believe they're still refusing to recognize that because of our stance on LGBTQ rights. In 1996, the UUA at its annual General Assembly passed a resolution in favor of civil marriage rights for same-sex couples, thus becoming the first religious organization to endorse equality of marriage rights. How about Unitarian Universalism outside the United States? ICUU, International Council of Unitarian Universalists. My personal favorite, UUPCC, Unitarian Universalist Partner Church Council. If you don't know what the partner churches are, I'd be happy to tell you at a later time. But it was under that particular alphabet soup mixture, the UUPCC, that I went to Transylvania two summers ago. This is our partner churches, and we began having them in Hungary and Romania, when Ceausescu, which I'm probably not saying that dictator's name correctly, but that's okay, was overthrown in 89. And I don't know how much you know about that dictator, but he had started a program to bulldoze all the Unitarian churches and villages in Romania, ruin them. That's where our partner church program, when our partner church program began. And I didn't really know this, but when Scholes was president in the late 1980s, he wanted to bring more UU congregations from around the world into our organization. I knew that. But at that time, we were not known simply as the UUA. Our correct name at the end of the 80s was the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations in North America. So we dropped the of congregations in North America because we have congregations in India and the Philippines and Romania, obviously, and England and India and on and on and on. Social justice, social action, UUUNO, the Unitarian Universalist United Nations office. We do have a lobbyist. We pay that person at the United Nations. And that person does really good work. UUSC, most of you should have heard of the UUSC, Unitarian Universalist Social Service Committee, because if for no other reason, because we do this every year, the guests at your table, if you give them any money, UUSC, you'll get this depressing publication that I try to read when it comes out. This one's, but it's also hopeful. This one's about a program in Haiti to have eco-villages, and they're reassessing it, but it's done a lot of really, really good things. UUCIS. UUCJS. Did I make that one up? The letters started. UUCJS. Justice something. UURISE? UURISE? I think that's a camp. I think it's a Unitarian Universalist camp. How do we organize ourselves? How about sushi? SUUSHI. This is also, Penny, I just jumped ahead. This is under things you never would have thought of. Sushi. It's a camp and conference center. It's a lot of people go to. GA, of course, General Assembly. CSW, our social witness, something social witness that we vote on at General Assembly. Blue, BLUU is probably the newest alphabet soup mix in our denomination, and I can't talk about it because you all get really upset when I talk about this, so I'm not going to talk about it today. Black Lives of Unitarian Union. Yep. But don't worry, I'll probably keep talking about it. Just not today. UUA Legacy, which is pretty much what it sounds like with the word legacy. Back to the UUSC, I just want to say you'd be hard-pressed to find any program anywhere as efficient and as effective as the programs and projects that the UUSC initiates, supports, and encourages, because they believe that you start at the grassroots level and you follow the lead of the locals and you get money for your bucks. Okay, APF, that's under things you would never have thought of. Annual Program Fund. UUMN, that one's for you. Yes, Barb, what is the UUMN? Yes. Very good. The UU Musicians Network. AUUA. I was a member of this when I was at first, before I went to seminary. Association of UU Administrators. Dynamite organization. Saved my life. We should get Dan into it. UUADP. I don't know what that is. So, enough for a minute. Earlier, I shared two readings with you. The one about planting a seed. Think about all the seeds that have been planted within our Unitarian Universalist Association, waiting for you to harvest them. The other reading was about following a path, and I'll repeat some of those words in a few minutes with the closing words. If you would like to go into more detail on anything that might have caught your eye this morning or subject that piques your interest, please seriously consider doing so. Do a Sunday morning program or organize a Sunday morning program. Lots of people don't like to speak from up here, but you could put one together and find people who don't have any trouble doing that. And you could talk to me, to Penny. Rick is here. He's on the program committee. I think that's it for our program committee people. But we do have other members, Robin Downs, Kathy Converse, and Dawn Hazlett. So let's do a responsive reading, and kind of, if you can do multitask this way, think of a subject or a topic that we didn't mention, throw it out there, and Penny will try to find an appropriate UUA-related website. I think I have one, if nobody says anything. Okay, anybody want to throw a subject out to Penny? I have an obvious one. What day is today? What does the UA do? Environmentally speaking, we are a green sanctuary, by the way. We are both a welcoming congregation and a green sanctuary. If you don't know what that is, ask somebody later. Ask somebody who's been here for a long time, see if they know. I think there's an environmental justice something with a bunch of letters. May we all be fortunate enough to have a path shown to us by the universe, and may we all have the courage to follow it. Enlightenment need not arrive all at once, straddling a bolt of lightning, or even after a lifetime of meditation and study. It might come in small packages as moonlight reflected in the frost of a cold November morning. May one of the paths shown to us by the universe be the richness offered to us through the Unitarian Universalist Association, and may we have the courage to follow those paths. Go in peace, greet your neighbor, drink coffee, and hope that spring is really here.